This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Ear to Ear on Mind's Eye Radio. Our next guest is someone you may have heard from before. She is retired Judge Annette Eckert, and she is here to talk with us about St. Clair County Teen Court. She was a guest a couple of years ago with Jason Frazier, but she's got lots of exciting things to talk about today. So, Annette, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, Brian. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. And it is a tradition on our show to ask our guest to give a self-description. So, Annette, before we get started, tell our listeners who you are.
I am a 5'3" woman. I try to go at about, if I can, about 100 pounds. And I have short, brown, curly hair. But I don't want that to be deceptive because I may be little, but I'm mighty.
Yes, I will back that up. You pack a powerful punch in terms of your excitement and your ability to get things done. So I appreciate you joining us. So what we're going to do today is we'll talk a little bit about what you and Jason talked about in the past, but this is really, again, to give our listeners kind of an update on where St. Clair County Teen Court is in 2024. You guys are celebrating your 10-year anniversary, so congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We started 10 years ago. Time has really flown, and we're very proud of many of the things that we've accomplished in the last 10 years. And if I may, I'll just start on that, if it's okay with you, Brian.
Absolutely.
Teen court is an alternative to juvenile court. And cases are referred to teen court by the state's attorney's office for teens that are charged with criminal offenses that are nonviolent. And if the teen accepts responsibility for their actions, in other words, admits that they violated the law, and accepts teen court, and the family participates in and accepts teen court as well, then the teen comes to teen court where they meet a jury of their peers. Mm-hmm. And these are teens from high schools all across St. Clair County. This year, we had participation from Altoff, Belleville East, Belleville West, Muscoota, I'm trying to think here, Governor French, and it was, they get trained, and we have them come once a month on a Saturday. And they don't determine guilt or innocence, but they determine what remedies this teen should do based upon the rules of restorative justice. And those three rules are, how can we as peer jurors hold this teen accountable for his or her offense? How can we help this teen repair the harm to all the victims? And victims can be many people. They could be the teen themselves, a younger brother or sister, a merchant if it's a theft. And also the third rule is, what does this teen need to become a more productive member of the community? So the teen comes before the teens, the police report is read, and then the teens ask questions of the peer jurors, ask questions of the teen and their parents. Then they deliberate and determine what remedies the teen should do based upon those rules of restorative justice. Oftentimes, those rules are some of the following. They may have the teen do community service. They may have the teen read a book and write a 250-word essay about what they learned. They may have the teen write letters of apology. Recently, we've partnered with the Illinois State Police. They have a youth camp for a week in the summer. Mm-hmm. And the teens have used that as a remedy. We have three graduates from that youth camp from last year, and we already have three going this year in July. We partner with the Y, Every 3 months, we have an activity at the Y where there's exercise and talking about healthy living, and they have the teens go there to learn about that type of experience. So they are very creative in their remedies. They give the teen 3 months to accomplish those remedies. And if they do that, then the state's attorney is advised that they have completed the remedies. And that charge, let's say of theft, they've never filed. The state's attorney has never filed that charge. So once they've completed teen court, the charge is torn up and they continue to have a complete free open record. I mean, there's no record. There's nothing. And so when they fill out that job application or scholarship application, and the question is, have you ever been charged with a crime? They can say no, which gives a great, it still opens doors for all these teens to do well. And it gives them a second chance.
And that's what's really unique about this. So I know you said nonviolent crime, so it'd be something like shoplifting. And where I'm going with this question is, many years ago, I sat in on one of your trials, so to speak, and I was I played the role of the the person that was charged that had to go up against the teen jury. And I got to tell you, the questions that they asked are pretty remarkable. I mean, they're coming, you know, like you said, from their peers, and it took about two questions and I'm like, I was sweating bullets and I was just doing that, you know, just to go through the scenario to understand about the program. But the jurors definitely take this very, very seriously, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we have a training for them at the beginning of the year, and it's a day-long training. And they go through a mock hearing, and we talk about restorative justice and what that means. And there's some people that come in and talk to them about trauma and the remedies that we have available. They take this very seriously and are very committed. And I think when peers talk to peers, when teens talk to another teen, it's different than an adult talking to them. Mm-hmm. A different meaning. And so I think they are very good at speaking to their fellow teens and to understanding what they may need.
And I keep going back to the shoplifting as an example of the nonviolent crime that you spoke of. And we talked about this that time when I was on the mock trial, that, you know, I think I admitted that, I had never had any run-ins with the law before, and it was just peer pressure. We were doing something silly with a couple of friends, and it was on a dare that I'd take something from the record store or take a t-shirt or a couple of things. And then I get, you know, I was caught, and then I have to go among my peers. Do you find that that's a lot of times what happens, is it might be peer pressure to do something silly, like smoke some marijuana and get in trouble because it's your first time, or shoplift?
Oh yes. That is very common. And the teens use a variety, of remedies. Sometimes they will have the teen write an essay, a 500-word essay about how I'm going to handle peer pressure the next time and handle it better. Mm-hmm. They might have them read a book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens, and then write an essay about how they're going to handle peer pressure the next time and why. Mm-hmm. So they tackle that so that it's the teen has to reflect upon the choice and then reflect upon further how they're going to make a better choice the next time.
And I know your success rate over the 10 years is up to, more than 250 teens now have graduated. What are some of your, what's one or two of your favorite? And I know you're going to read a couple of notes to our listeners here in just a few minutes, but you have any one or two personal favorite stories of how teen court really, you know, saved one of these teens from having that record, and how they've, you know, changed and are, you know, considered now a success in their own eyes?
Yes. One of my personal favorites is a young lady who was quite gifted in her senior year of high school, and she was working at a retail establishment and at the checkout, and took a certain amount of money, an exact amount of money. And the teens were perceptive enough to realize that that exact amount of money was the exact amount of money her mother needed to pay the rent. Mm-hmm. And they further inquired, as you stated, Brian, they asked probing questions about where the mother and the teen and her younger sister had lived. And they found out that they had lived in a number of different places because the mother had health problems and had lost positions, and they had been homeless at times and lived with other people and then got an apartment. And the mother had had health issues, had to go into the hospital and lost her job. And the teen was facing being homeless again and took the exact amount of money that kept her and her mother, who was returning from the hospital, in the apartment. Mm-hmm. And so the teens had her do certain remedies, and she finished those remedies in fine fashion, and she didn't show up for graduation. And the reason she didn't show up for graduation was because she'd gotten scholarship and gone to college.
Wow.
And the teens, one of the remedies that the teens had her do was counseling, because they said, she will never go away to college and leave her mom and sister because she's worried about them unless she has counseling and gets over the fear of being homeless. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, Brian, I never thought of that. They understood that. I did. I wouldn't have put that as a remedy. And that counseling was what made her strong enough to go off to college. But she sent us a note and said, when I'm on break, I want to come for graduation. And she did. And she got her diploma, and she thanked them for giving her a second chance and helping her have the strength to go to college.
Wow. That one gives me a lump in my throat. Wow.
I got goosebumps again, Brian.
Yeah. I do as well. And I know you have success. I mean, just oozing out of this program. So talk a little bit about the success, not only of the graduates, but, you know, what's the percentage of people who go through teen court? I mean, it's a very small percentage that end up being repeat offenders. And to me, that's just a remarkable number.
Well, our goal was to have less than 10% be repeat offenders. And after 10 years, we are at 9.3%.
Wow.
So we're entirely thrilled with that. And so we hope to keep up the same momentum. But I think, if looking at other statistics, I think it's a remarkable feat too. And it's entirely the jurors, the peer jurors who come and use their Saturdays and devote them to their fellow teens to give them a second chance. It's due to their empathy, their focus, they are so smart, Brian. They do a wonderful job.
Our guest today on Mind's Eye Radio, our ear-to-ear program, is retired Judge Annette Eckert. So we talk about the folks who are getting, the second chances, Annette. What are